Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com, 21st of February 2013, here in Japan. And today we're joined for our monthly conversation by Jack Blood, who is appropriately enough the host of The Jack Blood Show on the No Agenda Radio stream at noagendaradio.com. I think I'm getting that right. Noagendastream.com. I always get that wrong. Sorry, guys. DeadlineLive.info is the place for Deadline Live with Jack Blood, and you get all of the information, news, and breaking events there. So, Jack, thank you once again for your time this month.
Thank you, James. Is it that time of the month already? No, actually,
I don't know if we should label it that, but yeah.
My friends love your show. They kind of like mine. So always great to be here with you, my friend.
All right. Well, it's great to have you here. So let's start getting into the news and the information that you're covering. And something that that I didn't cover a lot, or really at all, here on Corbett Report, but I know you were covering quite a bit at the time as it was unfolding, was this whole Chris Droner or Dorner story. Tell us a little bit about that story and its conclusion, and what we can draw as a summary from this.
Christopher Dorner was a member of the LAPD and Special Ops before that, and it was a huge story here in the United States every day. It was kind of like its own reality show. We were all watching to see what would happen next, and of course CNN was right there to cover it. As you mentioned, Chris Dorner's name does spell R Drone, if you mix up the letters a little bit. And that's exactly what they did with this guy. He was a rogue cop. He allegedly, we've seen no evidence of this, but the powers that be said that he shot several people, including the children of one of his court adversaries, as they were stripping him of his ranks and kicking him out of the LAPD. Now, if you read his manifesto, some of that is true, some isn't. We think some might have been added. The gist of the story was he wanted to clear his name, and that he was accusing the LAPD of beating people in the streets as usual. Our angle on this is, yeah, no surprise. They're doing that all over the country now. It's not that LA has stopped doing it. It's that the rest of the country has joined them. And kind of pulled a Frank Serpico, you know, across that so-called thin blue line they always talk about. Of course, everybody ganged up against him. Years later, this is literally 4 or 5 years later, he's run out of appeals, has nowhere else to turn, just apparently and allegedly goes berserk. And he, after making several moves, goes up to Big Bear Mountain, where most people here watched him burn to death, kind of a reminiscent of Waco. You had the tank going and busting out the windows. They threw in some tear gas. And the next thing you knew, it was barbecue Droner. Now you got me saying it. Droner. That'll work. So, you know, here we are. We really do have the first instance of a drone, use a surveillance drone to try to find this guy, Christopher Dorner. But the story is so much more complex, as these stories usually are, James.
They always are, aren't they? But I mean, basically, my takeaway from this is that we just watched in real time the hunt down and takedown of a person basically under NDAA 2012 rules.
Exactly. Well, he was designated a domestic terrorist even by the liberals, even the liberal media. There was it got a little weird. The guy kind of was an anti-hero, a Billy the Kid, you know, a running man, so to speak, hearkening back to the film, the movie. And a lot of people were on his side because, you know, if it's the cop side or the guy that is against the cops, you know, a lot of people are going to take the other guy. You know, we've all had some bad experiences with the police. Not to say we're anti-cop, but we're certainly anti-police corruption. And
you know, it's interesting you bring that up.
Consistencies, though, including, you know, this guy had high-powered sniper weapons he never used. He never hurt any of his hostages, which was allegedly his undoing. And there is some question to rather, did they even get him in that cabin up in Big Bear, California, in San Bernardino? Did they even get him that at that point? Or did he slip away and to save face, they had to say they did? Because we can only trust that they found his ash-ridden corpse inside this cabin, by the way, next to some plastic ID, which he'd already left somewhere else. That's a double ID, folks, for those of you keeping track.
Oh, they'd never lie to us about something like that, Jack. I mean, don't be a conspiracy theorist. Well, exactly right. But hey, I mean, just because he didn't hurt the hostages that he had in his possession doesn't mean that the LAPD didn't kill people in the pursuit of him, right?
So many coincidences to 9/11. He'd called one of his victims' family members and taunted them. It was allegedly him. It reminded me of the passengers on the plane on 9/11 that were using their cell phones. Later, they had to say it was the seat back phones because the cell phone story didn't add up, who called, you know, their mothers and said, hey, this is Todd Beamer, or, you know, giving their full name. That did kind of remind me of 9/11. And then, of course, the burning of the cabin on live TV, mind you, reminded me of Waco. They would not allow the police up there. They had about 200 police in multiple perimeters. Finally, they would not allow the media within 40 miles of the story so that they could tell the story.
Ridiculous. Well, yeah. I mean, anything else that you want to take away from the Dorner story?
You look at these weapons he had. Where did he get the money? This guy, this cop, who was, by the way, another trained sniper. We lost two major snipers here in just about 2 weeks. Of course, the sniper, the American sniper, the author of American Sniper, Chris Kyle, I think his name was, in Dallas, Texas, where his own man shot him on a gun range. And then this guy, I thought it was quite a great distraction. But when you look at the money in his AR, he had an AR M4 rifle fully loaded, you know, $1,000 for that. The suppressor, another $1,500. He had a bolt action Remington 700, M700, the civilian equivalent of an M24 sniper rifle, and the Marines M40 sniper rifle. These are thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So it does also remind me of the Aurora shooting in Aurora, Colorado with James Holmes, where did this kid that on a meager grant at the university come up with thousands of dollars worth of weapons and equipment, special ops gear, gas masks? We do need to ask these questions.
There's a lot of questions that need to be asked, but speaking of people being taken down in an amazing public fashion, we just had Pontifex Maximus himself, Benedict XVI, allegedly stepping down because of health reasons, and he just can't continue anymore. And I have my own doubts about that, but what's your take on what's going on at the Vatican these days?
That's pretty simple to me. Joey Ratz, as I call him, the Nazi, Joey the Rats, it's like a mafia name, Pope Benedict, I thought really failed, and it could have been his persona, his charisma, the fact that he looked like, you know, a character out of Star Wars, whatever it was, he did not connect to the Catholics all around the world, who are, by the way, pretty divided on a number of, you look at, you know, you got Mel Gibson on one side, and then your bishop, your local child molesting bishop on the other side. Weaved into all of this, there are certainly connections of a cover-up into mass molestation within the Catholic Church, but I think it's something much bigger because normally the powers that be would let that go. They cover that up. He's the Pope. He can do whatever he wants, right? He can cover up whatever he wants. The Catholic Church, the oldest, you know, universal organization on the planet Earth. No, I think he didn't unite people for the New World Order quite enough. There are several candidates now that are going to be taking his place that are going to be advocating one world government and a one world currency. And not only was he not doing that well enough, he just couldn't get everybody together. And he became kind of an impotent pope. I guess you can tell that by looking at him. So now, because they are kind of throwing him to the wolves, they've got to actually keep him almost under house arrest in the Vatican. He can't leave the Vatican after he steps down for fear of being arrested by the Italian government.
No, that's exactly right. And that's specifically was, I found that one of the most amazing parts was that was specifically addressed and admitted in a Reuters article about this, is that that he still has his official diplomatic immunity wherever he goes, should he ever step foot outside the Vatican.
Well, they say, you know, George Bush, John Dimitri Negroponte, the former, you know, war criminal from Iran-Contra. He also oversaw the initial battle plan, I guess, in Iraq. He became the intelligence czar after 9/11 when they fused everything together under one centralized group there. And that was the problem. His brother, head of MIT's media lab, Henry Kissinger, these guys are massive war criminals, but they still manage to travel. And I'd love to see, you know, I've seen people like John Boncour or others in Canada try to arrest these guys. They can't. So I don't know if the Pope is really going to have anything to worry about, but it does sound rather serious. And it sounds like they've completely turned on the guy. This is the first Pope, we should add, that's resigned while living in something like 500 years.
Yes, it is a really bizarre thing. And that's to me, the strangest part about this, because I agree that he wasn't exactly the uniter around the New World Order that perhaps the Vatican is looking for at this point. But it's strange to me the timing, because he's clearly on death's doorstep anyway. I mean, at most, they'd have to wait a few years. I just wonder why it had to take place now instead of, you know, a few years from now when he just shuffles off this mortal coil.
There's a whole nother side of this, and many people predict that the next pope will be the last pope. There has been some writing going back to St. Malachy, which was, what, 1,000 years ago, saying the last pope would be named Peter. And here we have Peter from Ghana as one of the top candidates, who also advocates New World Order, one world currency. And I believe Nostradamus said that the last pope would be of color, would be black, and that also would be Peter of Ghana. So you can imagine a lot of people are freaking out a little bit on this. In fact, I've got an investigative reporter that works for us out of Alaska. He's interviewed several high-ranking people in the church, and they're all very afraid of this unexpected turn of events.
Well, it is disconcerting at any rate, and we're going to have to throw that into the works and see what comes out. But speaking
of this, for people that think that the Catholics run the world, has this damaged your theory a little bit, maybe, because they look like they're on the ropes to me?
Oh, I have no doubt this probably only bolsters their theory, because now they're moving to put in Petrus Romanus and bring in the end of the world or whatever theory goes. But
how we'll know how it's going to go when we see who comes up next. But exactly. that's the guy they say.
Well, interesting. And if it isn't, perhaps.
Pope, come on, folks. We can do it together. Let's channel it.
Yes. Well, let's move on to another self-appointed apostle of the New World Order, John Kerry, who is, of course, stepping into the role of Hillary Clinton's shoes. And I see you've got a post up right now on Deadline Live. John Kerry, Secretary of State's New World Order dream and links to Bilderberg Group, Nazis, and Skull and Bones forebodes more wars, which I think wraps it up pretty nicely. But perhaps you can give us your take on Kerry and where he's taken the country.
Yeah, well, Skull and Bones has controlled most of the intelligence in the State Department, you know, going back into the Second World War with the brothers from Skull and Bones. I thought it was really a fortuitous change here from Hillary Clinton he's really a water carrier. His name is Long Devil, by the way, in Skull and Bones. So now your chief diplomat, the Secretary of State, is Long Devil John Kerry. And interesting, just after this all happened, Heinz was bought by Warren Buffett for tens of billions of dollars. And if you know the story of Skull and Bones member John Heinz, Senator John Heinz, he was killed in an airplane accident. And his brother in Skull and Bones at Yale University, the secret society, German death cult, stepped right in and married Teresa Heinz, who absorbed all of John Heinz's money. So even though John Kerry didn't have these multi-million dollar old money parents, he has the bloodline, certainly, one of the top bloodlines, not as big as Bush, which is why he lost that. Oh, he threw that election in 04. The cousins in 04 running for president of the United States, and both of them in the same fraternity, secret society at Yale. Go figure that out. But now, it does not bode well for foreign policy. You know, anything that Henry Kissinger and the usual suspects want to do, this guy isn't putting up a fight. He's there to carry out orders, and that he will, up to the New World Order. So watch out Syria, watch out Northern Africa and Eurasia in general.
Well, I would throw in there that it's not just the wars, although I have no doubt that that will unfortunately continue apace, but also the global warming myth, which Kerry has supported in the past and which is looking to be an important part of Obama's second term and his legacy building. So perhaps
go back
sort of
to all
tax.
The secretaries of states and tell me which one didn't support the global warming, whatever it is, myth, death. End of the world philosophy, because you
point
can go
taken.
All the way back to Madeleine Albright and
point taken. Absolutely. You're right about that. But Kerry specifically has pressed on this point and said that it's one of the things facing humanity that's going to be the biggest. So I'm just wondering if this is going to be part of Obama's strategy of building some sort of consensus at the UN or whatever it is in his second term.
All this talk about guns, about Sandy Hook Elementary, dead children, movie theater shootings, public shootings. There's one of those almost every day now. And then Christopher Dorner, the rogue cop, which is, again, great TV. Something else is happening, and John Kerry is connected to that. Hillary Clinton has already announced she's already putting together her financial institutions to get her to the presidency in 2016. Jeb Bush has not only done that, but said he'll be the Lyndon Baines Johnson. Great campaign slogan of the Republican Party. Rand Paul is obviously in, and our others. We're seeing a lot of distractions. One of the things I picked up on that's kind of hidden up the sleeve is this attack on our computers. And if you go to our website and you find, you know, this 100-mile limit, we've got a story about, I don't know if you've heard about this, the Department of Homeland Security has a 100-mile border all around the United States. The water, the top, the bottom, it's 100 miles from wherever the borders are. There's a kind of a constitution free zone there. That includes major cities like Seattle and Chicago and the whole state of Rhode Island, and I'm not in it, in Atlanta, but all of Florida is in it. And at that point, they can pretty much, you know, trash your constitutional rights for national security anytime they want. And they've been doing that. And one of the things they've been doing is grabbing people's computers and looking for evidence, phishing. Now, you add this on top of the fact that Obama spoke at a State of the Union. I call it the STFU speech. You kids will know what I'm saying. That's shut the F up. Talked about not only was he going to push very hard for cybersecurity legislation, but he'd already that day signed an executive order to do so. And that brings back CISPA that the people here got on top of and stopped from passing the Senate into legislation. But he signs this executive order. You add on top of that, we just had a big thing here a couple of days ago where the Chinese allegedly hacked some defense company. They're not related to the government, but they might as well be Merck Incorporated, call them. And Anonymous at the same day hacked the State Department, speaking of John Kerry and the State Department. So I really think that that's bubbling under the surface, and it's certainly something worth our time to invest in to try to get on top of before they begin outlawing most of the things we do on the internet. Jay Rockefeller, who's the senator from West Virginia, is retiring here any day. That's John D. Rockefeller IV, if you're keeping track. And he's not going to be continuing as senator. I'm sure he'll find some revolving door job or running one of the giant companies that control everything. But this is his pet project. They really want to have the right thing happen for cybersecurity to be a major problem that they can react and then provide a solution for. And I really like to make sure everybody's aware of that. And maybe that's why we're getting all the distractions. They are really kind of, stacking their dominoes while we're all looking over here at something else.
I think, unfortunately, you are right about that. I definitely read that in the tea leaves. We've been seeing it coming into view for years now. And at the time when he was first elected back in 2008, there was a lot of hype about Obama and the cybersecurity presidency. And this was going to be a lot of driving theme of his administration. And I think we might see that in the second term. As you say, there's a lot of this Chinese hacking type of news that's being hyped up right now. Something that just sort of floated across the CNET newswire, but kind of disappeared immediately yesterday, was that a lot of the hacks lately into Facebook and Twitter that have been blamed on China was in fact originating from Eastern Europe. But that story disappeared quite quickly. And now, as you say, the Obama administration just came out today to further demonize the hacktivist threats, the economic espionage against
U.S.
companies.
Well, look at it. It's anonymous. It could be anybody. The NSA has already given blanket immunity to any hacker out there. Once you get caught doing whatever else you're doing, come work for us and you won't serve jail time. Just saying.
We've looked exactly
into big leaks and we find some connections to George Soros and the Open Society Institute. And so, you know, there's a weird track record there. As far as the Chinese go, there was a weird thing that happened to me almost a year ago. I was interviewing Tex Mars and we're talking about the Middle East and Halliburton and China. And the next thing I know, I get a death attack, a virus sent to me, and I copied the IPs before I shut it down. And I was simultaneously attacked by China and by Halliburton in Houston, which showed me that there was a connection, that the two of them were in league. I guess theoretically somebody could have used their IPs, but you know, that's not easy to do. So it would have been a super sophisticated attack blaming the two. And I thought catching the two in bed together right there was very telling.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, I suppose. But I think you're right. That is telling.
So where we're telling it, like Petey Green used to say. My brother, James Corbett. Look into who Petey Green was, folks. Great DJ.
All right. Let's just hit up one other thing that I know that you were going to cover. I know you had a big expose brewing on the Coronado Naval Base, and then I heard that it got postponed, and I haven't heard if you followed up with that. What's going on there?
No, I'm still working diligently. Going back to Christopher Dorner, the rogue cop, this is a guy that went to the Coronado Base and another base at the same time. This is even reported in the mainstream news. He goes up to the gate while there's a massive manhunt going on for him. And I question whether these special ops guys are all chipped now anyway. But let's just say there's a big manhunt. They don't know where he is, a killer cop. He goes up to the Coronado Air Force Base and gives the CO's name, and they let him in. And no one knows what happens then, and he comes out. Okay, now I want people to go look up Coronado Naval Base. It's Coronado Navy Base. And put in the word, I don't know, swastika with it. See what happens. Because supposedly, when they had Google Earth, they looked and they went, wait a minute, our Navy building is a giant swastika. We did not know that. And so they've tried to put some walls up so it doesn't look like a giant swastika. That's Coronado. Coronado is also home to the Navy SEALs, which were allegedly involved in this alleged bin Laden killing, of which we've seen no evidence for, and all evidence that could have ever proved it is gone. So are a number of the SEALs. Now we have, this is a little complex, it's take me a second. So now we have this new shooter. He's come up. I shot bin Laden, but Obama's not giving me health care, and I'm homeless. I don't know if you heard that story. That was a big story here a few weeks ago. Turns out, through my connections, and the connection goes all the way back to Bissonnette, who wrote the book, the so-called SEAL, wrote the book about killing bin Laden, which was also kind of anti-Obama just before the election. Turns out, he knows this guy. He didn't kill him. He had nothing to do with him, despite the fact that he could have gotten his insurance and went to the VA. That's all a crock, too. He's tied into Coronado. Then Coronado is in San Diego, and you've got James Holmes going to San Diego, growing up in San Diego. And San Diego, of course, is, if you look in and do searches with San Diego, mind control operations and centers and experimentation, you're going to get, you know, pages and pages and pages of information. So it's like a mind control center hub, that being San Diego. Lynn Fenton, who was James Holmes' psychiatrist, also trained in San Diego at one of the top mind control training centers. They have those folks. And all of that, in the center of all of that, is Coronado, the Nazi Navy base. And so this is the story we're working on, James. When I get it all done, I'll send it to you and you can peruse it. But it's looking like a whopper.
It's sounding like a whopper. So I'm very much looking forward to that, as I'm sure everyone else is too. And I'm assuming they'll be able to find that at Deadline Live and on your show.
Yeah, of course. Everything at deadlinelive.info and the Jack Blood Show. You can just get it. There's so many ways to listen. We're on Roku. We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn.com for your iPhones. We're on several times a day, and our archives always at deadlinelive.info. Before we go, can I say happy death day to Hunter S. Thompson? Today's his death day. It will be, believe it or not, 8 years.
I had no idea. Another supposed suicide that may or may not have been anything of the sort.
Well, Johnny Depp thinks so. But if you listen to Hunter S. Thompson's 9/11 interviews, this was done by Mick O'Regan. He's on the radio in Australia. You'll hear exactly right after 9/11 everything Hunter S. Thompson thought about it. And he was working on it. And he put out at least one book called Kingdom of Fear, Loathsome Secrets of a Star-Crossed Child in the Final Days of the American Century. Nod to Project for a New American Century. And he was working on something else. So that makes his death and his suicide all the more suspicious. But, you know, we got to acknowledge the guy. They don't make him like that anymore.
They certainly do not. Well, on that note, just before we go, I understand you have an event coming up in April there in Atlanta. Do you want to tell people about what's going on?
Yeah, thanks, James. I hope to be on again before April 6, 2013, but we're having the first really big Atlanta concert, Truth Fest. It's called the Music Liberty Fest. It's April 6, 2013 at the Center Stage, which is this really great place on downtown Atlanta, Georgia. And it's all day, like 3 o'clock to midnight. I'm going to be there, and let me just give you a few of the high points. Jordan Page, a great musician. Former Congressman Cynthia McKinney, she was former Green Party presidential nominee. She's an amazing activist and truth teller. Luke Radowski from We Are Change, the founder, he'll be there. Rebel Inc., a killer band, will be there. Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. This righteous brother named T-Mott, and tons of bands and lots more information. It should be a really fun time. It's really cheap. And so please help us promote it. First of all, if you know people that can get to Atlanta on April 6th, copy the flyer. It's on my Facebook page and get it out. Otherwise, we'd love to see everybody there. April 6th, 2013, center stage right here, Atlanta, Georgia, the Music Liberty Fest.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping you will be on in March anyway, so we'll talk more about it then. But Jack Blood, DeadlineLive.info, always great talking to you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for the gratuitous plugs and all the time. James Corbett, you rock. Stay bold, brother.